Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On Friday, big game last night. Lots of big games this weekend. We are in the middle of week two. You have reached the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm Matt Williamson. You know all those things. If you haven't already, go check out your favorite team's Locked On podcast as well. Locked On Packers, Locked On Bears. You get the idea. You've probably already done that. If you haven't, spread the word. Enough of the pleasantries. Let's just get after it. There's so much to deal with today. Lots to talk about. Let's talk about last night, and let's kind of do a little bit of a chronological how things went. And that first drive of the Jets, I put something out on Twitter along the lines of, was that the ugliest long drive in the history of the league? All these near turnovers and borderline calls and broken plays and Fitzpatrick under pressure, and still it's a long drive, as ugly a long drive as you can imagine. They end up getting a field goal, and right away Buffalo comes back. Goodwin runs right. Goodwin, by the way, is a world-class, you know, speed guy. I know everyone wants to bash Revis after last week, and we'll see on that, but having Goodwin run past you is not something to hang your head about. But anyways, Goodwin runs right past Revis. Long touchdown, boom, they answer right back. And then the Jets come on the field again after another and sustain another long drive, end up with a field goal. So it's 7-6 Buffalo, and Buffalo really hasn't been on the field. They've been on the field for like two plays. And I think that came back to haunt them late in the game. You know, I mean, the Buffalo defense is not very deep. They've had a lot of injuries there. And they were on the field an awful lot. And I think that wore them down after a while. It's a lot to ask, especially early in the season on a short week, you know, to prepare. And I'm not making mistakes. I picked the Jets to win this game. I'm not making excuses. But to me, I think that was a factor certainly in the second quarter or in the second half. Jets dodged a bullet. I mean, the fantasy community went crazy when Marshall went down awkwardly, you know, grasping his knee, went to the locker room. Came back, though, and played well, and supposedly it's only a sprain. Wow, that's surprising. Another good week from Quincy Anunua. He showed up big here. You know, if you don't know, the Jets play more four wide receiver sets than any team in the league and really are done with the whole tight end experiment now. You know, Jason Morrow's gone. They don't even use a tight end anymore. So Anunua does some tight end things, but he's more wide receiver than anything. He's a big, strong dude coming into his own, it looks. And that's very much needed, especially with the Devin Smith situation. I'd love to see Decker, Marshall, Devin Smith, you know, a healthy Devin Smith. I don't know if we'll ever see that in Anunua along with Forte. That's some serious firepower. And, you know, dare to dream. Someday that will happen. Who knows? This Bills defense is bad, though. I mean, I just think that's hard to argue. And then on the other side of the ball, Watkins clearly is not the same. You know, Sammy is favoring that foot. And because there's no other weapons around him, he's still going to get so much attention. I think this is going to be a really long year for him. You know, to finish up the half, the Bills had a very high-quality drive. Take it to 20-10, despite, you know, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the first half was nuts. The Bills hardly had the ball at all. And, you know, still things are going well for them. How about this stat, you know, by the way? Decker has 80 yards or a touchdown catch in 18 straight games. You talk about a consistent producer that doesn't get the credit he deserves. That's fine work by Decker. He fits the system really well. They'll put him in the slot a lot. I know I'm kind of all over the board here, but I'm just kind of reading my notes as they happened last night. And I'll have a little bit more of a summary at the end of things, too. You know, and then that first drive, after they scored, they did the old Patriot play. Score at the end of the half. go to halftime, come back out, get the ball, score again. Tyrod Taylor buys a ton of time, throws a bomb to Salas, and really, it's a very unsustainable offense, and it's all big plays. Taylor was up and down. We talked about Watkins. He's hard to rely on. Same with the rest of the receivers, for sure. I've said for a while now this is a very Watkins-dependent passing game. That's not a good thing, big picture, considering where he's at. And Taylor can be up and down, but this offense can create big plays, and they had probably as many big plays as any team in the league last year. And that was really their only offense. I mean, the big Salas play, the big play to Goodwin. But right away, I mean, the Bills are up. And, you know, it's all big plays. And then Marshall fumbles, not Britain, you know, the rookie Marshall out of Ohio State. The Bills scoop and score, and it's 24-20 before you know it. You know, I mean, it's 17 unanswered points by the Bills, you know, in a blink of an eye. So, and then the Jets just took over from there. And the Jets were the better team. So some of that stretch of the 17 unanswered was fluky. It was a scoop and score. It was a big play, getting two possessions in a row before and after the half. But the Jets answered a big way after that. Another long drive. Forte touchdown to make it 27-24. And then Watkins one-on-one against Marcus Williams. Taylor gives it a shot, which was the right call. You get that matchup. But he underthrew it a little bit, and Williams made a nice play on the ball, interception. At that point, it looked like a massive uphill climb for the Bills. And then so after the 17 unanswered that Buffalo put up on the board, the Jets did the exact same thing with 17 unanswered of their own. They were the better team. You know, they controlled the game. If it wasn't for those couple Bills big plays, this wouldn't have been as close. I will say the Bills offensive line, you know, considering what we talked about yesterday, was much better than I thought. You know, they did not get manhandled against a very good Jets defensive front. That's good. The second level players and Jerry Hughes on the defense played well, and that's encouraging. Their corners, though, the strength of the team, had a long day for the Bills. That's a problem. I mean, I think that corrects itself. I think Gilmore and Darby are one of the better pairings in the league, but it wasn't the case last night. Fitzpatrick played well, really well. He's a streaky player. He was absolutely hot tonight. He made some risky throws, as he usually does, and there's certainly a fine line overall with him. And he got away with them in this case, and that's when he's rolling. And he still scares me, but that's a different story. I'm not going to bash him. He was excellent overall. He was aggressive. He was good against pressure. The top skill guys for the Jets, I mentioned Anunua, Decker, Forte was fantastic. Marshall came back and played really well. All those guys were excellent in this game. Those four were really, really good in this game. You know, a note about Forte that we were talking about last night on Twitter a little bit. He's a glider. You know, he's kind of a long-legged guy, smooth glider, vision. And I thought, you know, when the Jets signed him, I looked at it and said, boy, he had a ton of carries and mixing his receptions too. He had a ton of work at the college level. Came into the league with a lot of wear and tear off his tires, so quote. And he's an older dude that, you know, got a lot of carries at the Bears. I looked at that Jets signing this offseason and said, that one's going to bite him. You know, you don't invest in a running back with that much wear and tear on him. I think I'm wrong. I mean, he looks great, very smooth, very light on his feet. And another Sammy Watkins note, if you notice that last play of the game, that last drive, you know, desperation time, he wasn't even out there. So are we going to hear in a day or two that he's getting surgery, or he's shut down for a couple weeks? I don't know. But kind of like I predicted to start the season, this could be a very, very long year for the Bills. I could see a top five draft pick. I could see coaches getting fired. I could see a lot of bad things in Buffalo this year. So, such is life. Okay, it is time for my picks. And we're going to keep a running total on these. Last week, I was 11-5. And which teams did I lose? Let me look at this here. I picked the Broncos. That was a win. I picked the Bucks. That was a win. I picked the Bills. That's a loss. I picked the Texans. That was a win. Picked the Packers. That was a win. I picked the Chiefs. That was a win. Saints. That was a loss. Barely. Jets. That was a loss. Barely. Picked the Eagles. pick the Vikes, pick Seattle, pick the Giants, pick the Lions, pick the Cardinals. Cardinals was the other loss. Also took the Steelers and Rams. So 11-5, that's the other loss. The Rams one I regret. Yuck. Anyways, I took the Jets last night, so I guess I'm up to 12-5. And we'll spend a couple minutes on each game. Niners at Panthers. I respect what the Niners did on Monday night. I respect what their defense might be. I respect Chip Kelly as a head coach and an offensive guy, but you're giving the Panthers a extra long week to prepare after a tough game, and the Niners have to go for what's a 10 o'clock start for them on the East Coast. I'm sorry, this game's not going to be close. You know, the Carolina's going to smoke them. Sorry, Niners fans. I do have some encouragement for you guys. You know, things are better than I expected, but you're in for a long one. That is a rough chore. The Ravens go to the Browns also at 1 o'clock. And, again, we're talking about bottom feeders. I'm not going to pick the Browns for a long time to win a game, I don't think. Although I think their team's going to be better with McCown. McCown's a better quarterback than RG3. If you don't know that, that's fact. He's a better quarterback. He's going to check down. He's going to use his tight ends. He's going to use his running backs. It's not, you know, bombs away, and if that's not there, I'm going to run. I mean, he's a professional quarterback. But my stance on the Ravens is I was hoping before I don't know the schedule in advance all that much. I start looking at it Tuesday, Wednesday of the week. I was hoping the Ravens would play a middle-of-the-road or upper-tier team because I don't know if they're good or not. You know, if they go to Cleveland and win 21-0 or 21-3, whatever, I'm still not sure they're good or not. I'd like to see a different test from them because more than any team on the in the league, I'm kind of on the fence of are they good, are they not, are they right in the middle? And they have a lot of moving parts in the offensive skill positions. Defense played really well against Buffalo, but after watching last night, I don't know how impressive that is. I think they win this game. Titans go to the Lions. I think Tennessee wants to play slow, physical, run the ball, where I think the Lions more and more, we're going to see up-tempo, Stafford leading the crew, no huddle, get it out quick, fun offense to watch in the dome. And I think the Lions win this one. I mean, I have to be honest. I'm going to be kind of quick on these games, more so than most Fridays, because this week two slate isn't all that great. You know, I mean, it just isn't. It's not. There's not that many top games to get excited about. Of course, it's NFL football, and all the games will be fun. But there's not a lot of games to really dig into and say, you know, Ravens, Browns, I mean, Carolina Niners. I mean, there's guys are pretty clear, I don't think, that you know, of who's probably going to win that game. This one isn't, though. Chiefs at Texans. I'm going with Houston here, and I'm a little concerned about the Chiefs' defense. Didn't look good while Keenan Allen was in the game. Dealing with some injuries. No Justin Houston. They have some age issues there. Their secondary is not as deep, and they want to play a ton of dime. They, you know, invest. There's some age issues. I'm not just sold that it's going to leave, you know, pick up exactly where it left off as an elite defense at the end of last year. And I feel the total opposite about the Texans defense. So, can the Chiefs' defensive line really be disruptive and own the Texans' offensive line, which I think is the weakest area of the Houston team? Yeah, that could happen. And I think this will be a close game, nothing like the playoff game that we saw. You know, I think Houston's much better now. They're much better at the quarterback position. Their defense is loaded. I don't think we'll see Jamal Charles, but I think Spencer Ware is a very good player. I'm going to take Houston because they're at home, but this should be a good game. Miami going to New England. Sorry, Dolphins, but I mean, I can write the story, and it kind of is like the last year or last week's story of how Miami's defensive line beats up on a below-average offensive line like they did in Seattle, and Namakong Su wreaks havoc and beats the dirt out of everyone in front of them, disrupts everything the Patriots are going to do with, you know, two rookie guards and backup tackles. But the other side of the ball is going to be ugly. You know, that Gronkowski should be back. We don't know that 100% as it stands Friday at noon. But that should be the case. New England's just better. You know, this is just a tough slate for Miami. Go to Seattle, go to New England to start the season. holy smokes, you know, with a new staff, new coach. I still have a lot of hope for the Dolphins offense, though. Saints at Giants. Start your fantasy players. Remember the guys in these teams played last year? It was Eli threw 6 touchdowns, Breeze threw 7 in New Orleans. I don't think it's going to be quite that insane, but the Saints' defense is as bad as ever. This is going to be a super up-paced game. Receivers all over the field, good quarterbacks, lots of points. And like I said, I'm going to say this about every Saints game. That's how every Saints game is going to go this year. But the Giants can play that way too. Giants have a D-line though, and they have some cover men. So I think their defense offers a heck of a lot more resistance than the Saints' defense. Although I think the Saints' offense is better than the Giants. It's in New York. I'll take the Giants in this one. And 2-0 would go a long way to get them established in that division. Bengals at Steelers. And this is a huge cliche, but this is one of those games you throw everything out. You know, like Ben Roethlisberger's stats the last 3-5 games, something like Cincinnati. I mean, like all the skill guys in this game, there's a lot of good ones. With the exception of A.J. Green, of late, don't do anything in these games. You know, they're low-scoring slobber knockers. Lots of hitting, some dirty play. Perfect won't be in this one. We'll see how chippy things get. I'm going to take the Steelers, though, in a really close one. 17-13, something like that. I think the Steelers are better than they were last year. And I think the Bengals are slightly worse. And it's in Pittsburgh, although Cincinnati's, you know, good in Pittsburgh. These teams will win in each other's houses. Maybe the best game of the weekend. Cowboys at Washington, pivotal. You know, I mean, real pivotal. Can either one of these teams afford to go 0-2 in this division if they're going to keep up? That's a problem. I just look at Washington's run defense and think, man, Elliott could go for 150 or 180 or more. You know, that was fluky what we saw last week. I think Elliott's going to feast all year long, and that's the difference to me. I mean, certainly could Washington's offense put up points against Dallas's defense? Absolutely. Dallas blitzed these guys a ton the last time they met. Will they do that again? The Steelers did not blitz Washington very much. You know, that they certainly have the weapons of Washington to exploit an average secondary. But I'm going to take the Cowboys on the road based on their offensive line and their running game. Bucks at Arizona. I've seen a lot of people pick the Bucks in this game. You know, that Jameis Winston's the man, and trust me, I think he is the man. I think he's going to be great. But, man, Arizona, after that type of loss, at home, against this secondary, is all I can think about, is Fitzgerald and Floyd and Brown. I think they're going to torture the secondary and throw bombs all day on the Bucs. Can Jameis and company keep up? I don't think so. You know, I think Vincent Jackson might have a nice day. Patrick Peterson, it's interesting because Patrick Peterson and the Cards played the Patriots last week. Peterson's the best corner in the league, and he's a true Revis Island type player, Deion Sanders type player, where, you know, he matches up against number one and does a great job against him. Well, against the Patriots, who's he going to match up against? You know, they didn't really have that guy. But Evans very much is that guy. So even if he goes to a draw with Evans, I just don't think Tampa can keep up with Carson Palmer and company in this one. Seahawks at Rams. This is another one that's kind of like Steelers-Bengals, except the Rams are terrible. That the Rams play everyone in their division, especially Seattle, really tough. And give Fisher credit for that. I mean, he's an easy guy to bash right now, but give him credit for that. Still, I can't take them. I mean, I could write the story where Aaron Donald and Quinn and Brockers and this entire defensive line wreaks havoc on Russell Wilson and beats up on his poor offensive line, or Wilson takes another shot to the ankle and he's out in the first quarter. That could happen. That could happen. Or the Rams have a pick six, or Tavon Austin takes one to the house and they win, you know, 10-9. That could happen. I just don't think it will. I just think the Rams offense is so bad that even if all those things do happen, Seahawks defense is going to own the Rams offense. Give me the Hawks. This one's interesting too. Colts at Broncos. Because what I want to see is I believe that the Colts offensive line is actually better. We've all been fooled before, but I actually believe it now. But they're better on the interior as opposed to tackle. And at Denver, home field advantage coming off the ball, Von Miller, Ware, Ray, all those guys. And not to mention Denver's three corners against the three receivers for the Colts, and Hilton might not play. Sorry, but I take Denver here in another game where the running back, C.J. Anderson, might rush for 200 yards. I mean, he very well could. I don't think Simeon will have to do much, and I think C.J. Anderson will go bonkers. Falcons at Raiders. Falcons have both their receivers dinged up. I think the Raiders' defense is a lot better than we saw in New Orleans, and I think we'll see that in this game. And I also think the Raiders' offense moves the ball at will against the Falcons. I think they dominate the offensive line, defensive line matchup, run the ball well, stay away from Trufant, and the rest of that secondary is, you know, not easy pickings, but not a lot of resistance. I like the Raiders pretty big in this one, kind of a statement game that, hey, you know, we're a good football team. Jags at Chargers. And one thing I've said about this game is, are the Jags to the point where you can go on the road across country against an inferior opponent, but not a terrible one? This isn't the Browns, you know, this isn't an awful team. Can they do what the Packers did to them last week and go across the country on a business trip, get a win, come home, doesn't matter how you do it? Are they to that point yet? I don't know. I'm going to take them. I think the Chargers' defense is better. I think Verrett can do a nice job on Allen Robinson. I think the run defense is better. I'm not sold on that. We're not going to see Ivory. Can Jacksonville rush the quarterback? I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in that, but if Keenan Allen was in this game, I would take the Chargers. But without him, I just have too many questions on that side of the ball for San Diego. Speaking of offensive questions, the Vikings host the Packers on Sunday night. Bradford's first start. Is that going to go well? I mean, I think it goes better than Sean Hill. And big picture, I'm in favor of it. I just, you know, Packers rush the passer well. I like their secondary. Defense is better than people think. Vikes don't have much in terms of firepower, although I'm not sure if we've talked about this. I think Stephon Diggs is going to be a star. I think he's very, very good. Imagine if, I wish he was in a different offense right now. He'd be lighting it up. There are some minor questions. Has Peterson lost a little bit of a step? I don't know. I want to keep an eye on that in these next couple games. But I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of running room in this one either. And the formula is obvious right now in Minnesota, especially as Bradford's getting his bearings, is they need to win games like Denver did last year on a great defense. They did it last week. Two defensive scores. Is that going to happen against Aaron Rodgers and company? I tend to doubt it. So I'm taking the Packers on the road. I think the Vikes D holds their own for as long as they can. But they're the inferior team, and there's questions. So I know I haven't gotten real exciting and no upset specials and Adam Neves and Cup of Muds, but the slate just doesn't really lend itself for that this week. The Eagles go to the Bears. I would say this is my toughest pick of the week. I don't know what the spread in this game is. To me, this is pretty much a coin flip game. Really excited to watch Wentz, you know, start to finish as the primetime game, the only game on live as it's happening. Can the Eagles receivers, probably without Ertz, exploit that bad Bears secondary? I don't know. I mean, maybe. But I think Wentz can control things. Can the protection hold up against a pretty good Bears defensive line? Maybe. But I think Alshon Jeffrey goes bonkers here too. You know, that can they protect? I mean, that Eagles pass rush and defensive front is quite good, very active, very athletic. Can the Bears hold up, especially at the tackle positions? I have some questions. I just think Alshon Jeffrey goes for about 150, and that's enough. In a really close game, I like how that game plays out right now. I think the arrow's pointing up on both organizations. They're sort of about the same way, about the same stage in their development that, hey, we know we're rebuilding. You know, we know we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. It's a gradual process. Each year we're going to add some big pieces. And that'll be a good test to see where both teams are in a prime time situation. Guys, it's been fun, as always. I know I kind of buzzed through the games pretty quick. But you got my picks. We'll talk about them on Monday. We'll talk about them on Tuesday. So I urge you to check out the rest of the Locked On Network. including Locked On Fantasy, Locked On NFL Draft. That's always good stuff, too. Have a great weekend. There you have it. Over and out.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.